Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 11th of July, 2021. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, we're continuing our series looking at Jude, and Richard will be looking at Wake Up, Keep Your Eyes Open. So let's go and join Richard as he's introducing the service.
Good morning, and a warm welcome to you here at Minehead Baptist Church. My name is Richard, for those of you that don't know me, and I'm one of the ministers here, and it's lovely to welcome you this morning, whether you're here or online or on CD. One day this list might even get shorter, but who knows. But we've come, a few notices, that's the one, a few notices. Do join us. We've just been looking at the weather, and we think we're all right for the Blenheim Gardens after the service. Obviously, if it starts pouring with rain between now and then, we probably won't be there. But do come and join us. It'd be lovely to see you from sort of 12-ish. A reminder for church members, our AGM and members meeting is all going well, and presuming we hear what we want to hear, or that restrictions are going tomorrow or next Monday, will be next Tuesday evening at 7:30? Seven, there we go. At 7 in the evening, so please do join us if you're able. And then the Saturday morning after, for everyone, the whole church family, we're going to have an information morning from, I should have looked the time, 9 or 9:30? 9:30, there we go. Should have looked the times first, shouldn't I? 9:30, to find out a bit about what's been going on this year and about some of the plans that the church has and that God has put on our hearts for the years ahead. So please do join us if you're able, and I am reliably informed there will be coffee at least once, possibly twice, who knows then. But we come today to worship a living God, a God who is not silent and who is not asleep. So shall we pray now as we come to worship? Father, we come this morning and we want to point ourselves towards you, to focus on you, to put aside all the things in our lives that distract us from you. And Father, we pray this morning that you will be present, that you will speak to us, each one of us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I'm going to hand over to Roy.
Thank you, Richard. I notice we've got a few football supporters in this morning. No. I'm just looking at the dress code, those in red and white. Was that not obvious? It wasn't intentional then, Debbie. Oh, right. But we're not here to talk about football. We're here to worship the living God. And we're going to give glory in the highest, to the Lamb of God. Lord, you are worthy. Thank you. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid to bring us into the Father's presence. Thank you for taking all our sin and shame. Thank you that you came in love and brought grace to each one of us. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, is Mark in the building?
Morning, everybody. Are you okay? Are you sure? I don't sound very, very keen about this. At home, are you okay? Yes, you are okay at home. That's good. Right, I've got something. Just wait a minute. Okay, right. Not far off it. Hang on. What games can you play with a ball? Tennis. Well done. What other games? Cricket. Well done. Snooker, well done. Pardon? Netball, well done. Hockey, table tennis, anything else? Did someone mention football? Hang on a minute. It's coming home, it's coming home. Ah, football. There's a game on tonight, apparently. A few people are talking about football. Football is coming home. You'd be amazed. Football and following God have got something in common. Have you ever played football? Yes. Lorraine's played football. Are you any good at it, Lorraine? You're good at moving the goalposts, yeah. Right? Has anyone else played football? A few people have played football. Brilliant. I've played football, and at different times I've been quite good, and I've been really rubbish. Okay, that's about it, really. Has anyone at home played football? Brilliant. Now, the thing about football is if you don't keep your eye on the ball, all right, you make yourself look a right fool. Because as that ball's coming over into the box and you've got it, you've lined it up, you're just about to take that shot and it's there and all of a sudden you notice something else and you take your eye off the ball, you miss it. If you take your eye off the ball, if you play cricket and you take your eye off the ball, you can end up with a black eye. My goodness, it's dangerous. Right? You've got to keep your eye on the ball. And that's the same with following Jesus. You've got to keep your eye on Jesus. If you want to follow the Christian life, if you want to follow God, you've got to keep your eye on Jesus. Because if you take your eye off Jesus, you miss it. You get tangled up. Your feet get all messed up. You get sorted out and tangled up in sin and things like that. You've got to keep your eye on Jesus. And if you do that, you score the goal. You get eternal life. Well, I think we get eternal life because I don't keep my eye on Jesus all the time. I'm looking at Roy and Roy's nodding with me. We do our best. He does keep his eye on me, yeah. He has to. I think I'm a full-time job. I don't know. I do my best. And when I'm playing football, I do my best. I try and keep my eye on the ball. But I get distracted. But when we're following our Christian life this week, the rest of our lives, let's keep our eye on Jesus. But also, let's remember, if we take our eye off him a little bit, let's not get discouraged. Let's not get disheartened. Because just like football, you get another go. The ball will come back in the box another time. The ball will come back to your feet and you can have another go. And just the same with Jesus, if you take your eye off him, if you say sorry and you come back, he's there waiting. So let's do that this week. Let's keep our eye on Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are keeping your eye on me. I thank you that you've given me the ability and the opportunity and the want to keep my eye on you. Thank you, Lord. Help us this week keep focused on you. And Lord, I do pray that you'll bring it home tonight. Amen. Okay, tonight. Tonight is cafe. I've got to keep praying. I think that's all we've got is prayer, right, if I'm honest. Have you seen the Italians play this tournament? My goodness. We're okay. Tonight is cafe church. and I'm going to look at tonight. It's at 6 o'clock here. You're more than welcome to come here. We'll have some tables and some tea and coffee, and also it will be online as well. 6 o'clock, and we're looking at endurance and perseverance. Yes, we will mention football again. Okay, endurance and perseverance. That's what we're going to be looking at this week. And then afterwards, you'll have enough time to go home, okay, and watch the football. Okay, so Cafe Church tonight at 6 o'clock. Was there anything else I needed to mention? Is that it? Brilliant. Okay, I think there is a song. Your grace is enough. We're off to Zoom now, and we'll see you in a little while. I'll keep my football shirt on for good luck, and we'll see you in Blenheim Gardens at 12 o'clock.
The reason we're here this morning is to worship you, to give you our thanks and praise. We come before you, Lord, seeking your face, seeking your blessing, not for us alone, Lord, but for our brothers and sisters around the world. Can I ask you to take a seat for a minute? It's been on notice that Jenny and I have taken over the Open Doors prayer group leading from Jill. Jill, many thanks for your many, many years of service. It's so appreciated. We haven't been able to start the prayer group yet, but I just wanted to give you an update this morning. Particularly in India, Open Doors have put the whole July into a special project for India. Christians in India are urgently asking for our prayers as they find themselves caught between two crises, the pandemic and persecution. So Open Doors has set aside the whole month of July to pray with them. Back on the 1st of July, Open Doors UK launched a new report in Parliament called Destructive Lies, and highlighting the persecution of Christians in India. Quite a lot of MPs were there, and I know that our local MP has had the report. Its findings are based on an independent research by the London School of Economics and include policy recommendations which will have impact for our brothers and sisters in India. The launch was well attended by MPs, and we pray that they will be stirred into action on behalf of Christians and other minorities in India. Hindu extremists in India promote something called Hindutva, which disregards Indian Christians and Muslims and other minorities as true Indians because they have allegiances outside India, and asserts that the country should be purified of their presence. In 2014, Hindu extremists claimed that there would be no Christians left in India by 2021. As we know, last year saw the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, and Christians in India are ignored when relief aid is distributed by the government. They are often told, your God is not helping you, but if you renounce your faith, then we'll help you. But praise God that he is providing help through Open Doors and other organizations. We're over halfway through 2021. And persecution continues to escalate in India. But our brothers and sisters there continue to courageously follow Jesus. I want you to watch this video, which tells the story of two of our sisters in India, Vinita and Preetha.
When we went to a house for a prayer meeting, we were sitting there when suddenly some people came in and started to beat us. As they hit me with the rods, I fell unconscious.
Every year, Christians in India suffer violent attacks because of their faith in Jesus. Preetha, a pastor's wife, was visiting Vinita when a group of Hindu extremists burst in.
While they were beating me, I was holding my 6-month-old daughter in my arms. They snatched her and threw her down, and she was injured on her leg. For almost 30 minutes, they were hitting us and breaking household items. I thought, today we will not be spared. They were running after me and beating me. My life was saved as I rushed into my neighbor's house. Otherwise, they would have killed me.
Preetha and Vinita were taken to hospital, but medical staff refused to treat them because of pressure from their attackers. Thankfully, Open Doors local partners heard what happened and came to their aid.
When the brothers came to help us, I felt peace and comfort, and I received the grace of God's blessing.
They took us to another hospital and got us treated and paid our hospital expenses. If the partners had not helped, my pastor's wife would have died, as her condition was very serious.
On top of persecution, Christians in India are also facing the challenge of the COVID-19 pandemic.
When quarantine started, my husband's work and mine came to a standstill. We faced hardship as we had no money and no groceries. But I used to pray to the Lord to please bless us so that we could afford some food for our survival. I also prayed for those brothers and sisters who would be suffering like us during lockdown. Partners from your organization gave us groceries and helped us.
Open Doors partners are standing with Preetha and Vinita and giving legal support in their case against their attackers. But the effects of the attack remain. Preetha's hand still causes her pain, and she often feels too afraid to go on pastoral visits. Even so, both women are determined not to give up their faith in Jesus.
We never thought of leaving God, because God alone kept us safe and helped us along. Because of his favour, my faith grew even stronger. Had he not cared for us, I do not know what our condition would have been.
I want to say thank you to God. Not only do I thank God, but also his people who have helped us. I am grateful for whatever God's people have done for me. They helped, thinking of me as their own.
Praise God for Vinita and Preetha's continuing faith despite their suffering. Thank him for watching over them, and please pray for their ongoing physical and inner healing. Preetha asks us to pray for her persecutors, so that those who now oppose God would come to know the love of God. And please pray too for Open Doors local partners in India. Pray that they would have the wisdom and energy they need to give the best help they can to persecuted believers like Preetha and Vinita.
Preetha and Vinita, their story really is very touching, and I want to bring you a story of another young Indian woman. And when I read her story, I was so touched by her attitude. Her name is, well, it isn't the same as that, wasn't their names. Security means we have to give them different names. But Kirti, when Kirti's husband was murdered because he chose to follow Jesus, Open Doors partners supported her with food, shelter and money to pay for hospital bills. Now, thanks to the support of Open Doors and their prayer and support, they have been able to come alongside her during the pandemic as well. Sadly, during lockdown, Curti's persecutors did not stop. Several villagers came to her farm while she was away and fed her crops to their animals. This made it hard for Curti to make ends meet. "I was not in my village when they were grazing animals in my farm," she says. "I felt very sad when I came back and saw my farm. I did not say anything to anyone, but I prayed to God that the Lord would change the lives of those persecutors so that they too can be saved." Oh, what a lovely attitude. She and other Christians in her village were also denied food aid from the government because of their faith. "Sometimes I get frustrated because I have the responsibility of my in-laws and four children. Still, I thank God that he helps us in everything," she says. "Thanks to you, Open Doors local partners have been able to continue supporting Curti. The organization has helped me a lot," she says. "They made a home for us, gave us clothes, utensils and rations. In time, God fulfilled our every need. I did not face any kind of problem during the blackout. God is with me and God fulfilled all my needs." God is also answering Curti's prayer for her family and community. Her father-in-law, who used to persecute her and blamed her for her husband's death, has recently become a Christian. Praise the Lord. Also, many people in her village have come to her for prayer for healing. And as a result, around 10 new families have started believing in Jesus. She says, "I am illiterate, but whatever I hear from the Bible, I share with others. I am still persecuted by some people from my village, but now I do not fear. God is with me." And she's written a prayer, which I hope you will say amen to at the end when I read it. "Life-giving God, I thank you and pray for all those people who supported me in my difficult times. Bless all of them. Meet all their needs. I pray for those people facing persecution for being Christians. Lord, give them courage. May your church grow in every country, that many people, including those who persecute and oppose Christians, may be saved. I pray for the servants of God who share your word. Keep them safe and fulfill all their needs. Help all of us to live life according to the word of God. Amen." Now I'd just like to say another prayer for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would strengthen persecuted Christians in India and all other places where faith costs the most. May our brothers and sisters experience your grace and your goodness in the harshness of their lives. And may they know your love, joy, peace, and hope in their hearts. Make them beacons of light to their families, to their communities, and to their nations. For the sake of your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now I'd like to say the prayer that Jesus taught all of his disciples all around the world, including our precious brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. Let's say together,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I said at the beginning of that Christians in India are urgently asking for our prayers. And it's really our responsibility to respond to that. If anybody wants to know more about Open Doors, about the situation in India, have a word with Jenny or I after the service and we'll get you some information. But do pray for them. They desperately need our help. And it's lovely that to think that, I'm just thinking of that story that Jenny just read of the father-in-law who's come to faith.
Yes.
Because you've called him by name, Lord. When you call my name, we're going to sing again. There's a hunger in this wilderness.
Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire.
In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the Archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very same things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These people are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage.
But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, In the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning to those of you online. My name's Paul. I, with Richard, am another one of the ministers here. But before Richard comes and brings God's word, let's pray for him. Father God, we thank you for the scriptures you have given us. And we thank you for Richard, the fact that you have called him here. Open his mouth, Lord, so that what comes out is only words from you. Remove from him all that is of his own humanity, his own ways, and give him the words that speak of you, so that we may open our hearts, receive your word, and act to the glory of God and your honour always. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. So we continue on in Jude, and we're focusing this morning really from verse 5 to 10. And here we have, well, what I can only describe is Jude isn't messing around. He's not holding back the punches. He's not really got room to, I suppose, has he, in a letter this length? But we have here a call to remember. A call to remember what has happened to those who drifted away from God. And I'll let you in on a spoiler. It's not that great, we discover. For Jude reminds us of one of the founding moments of Israel. That moment when God led his people out of Egypt and formed them into a united nation. And then I don't know if you remember the story where scouts are sent into the land and they return and they go, oh, we're a bit scared. They've got big walls and they look quite strong. They failed to trust in God. So that's then why we get all the people being destroyed by God. They're told they'll die in the wilderness. And almost all of them do, other than the two scouts who came back and said they should go in and attack. But even after all the promises that God had made to them, at that crucial moment of testing, where they needed their faith the most, they failed and turned away from God. And so they faced that judgment. A judgment that all of us one day will face. Because we read here that even the angels don't escape. They will await judgment for abandoning their place under God. And then Jude's third example here is one of the well-known stories of the Bible, I think. Possibly because we like stories of destruction, I don't know, but of Sodom and Gomorrah. Where we see yet another reminder of what happens to those who turn away from God. and turn to other things. And in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's sexual sin that leads them astray. Too easily did they get distracted and dragged off to focus on other things. So we need to be alert, alert to the dangers around us, those subtle influences that can lead us astray. We've talked of sexual sin, where Sodom and Gomorrah led astray, and look at the world around us. We live in a world where the norms of sexual ethics seems to change week by week sometimes. Norms that had existed for 2,000 years have disappeared, have begun to slip and disappear and become less common. I am, just in case you weren't aware, in my 20s, and I have had conversations, usually with work colleagues, not but while I work here, I should add, before I get into trouble, but people my own age who are amazed and flabbergasted, really, that you might not have sex with someone before you're married. Or that you might not want to marry them because the sex might not be any good. Sorry, it's one of those conversations today. But, or that I might take issue with having casual sex with whoever you fancy, whoever takes your pleasing, at the drop of a hat. These are things that have all changed. I've become the norm, not just something that happened but no one really wanted to talk about. Now we boast of these things. I had friends who would tell you quite proudly how many people they'd slept with. That is not what we're called to. Or take the Methodist Church. Last week they voted to recognise people who cohabited as being equivalent to marriage. Where is that in the Bible? It slips in. And in this case, must have been welcomed in because they voted for it. But welcomed by those who seek to fit to the new prevailing norms of society. It's a danger for the church, tearing up 2,000 years of history and teaching in the hope of a few cheap points to stave off irrelevancy. Yet I want to argue that by giving in to those points, by giving in to these ideas, that is where we lose our relevance. Because it is not who we're meant to be. We are Christ's church, God's church. We're not meant to blow and bend with the wind in whatever direction fashion says we should go. Like a rudderless boat drifting at the whims of the sea and the tide and the wind. Rather, we should be a boat firmly under control. Firmly under the control of God. We should stay true to the course that's been set before us. Set before us in this book, this Bible, that contains all we need to know. We're not to be tossed about by the wind of culture, no matter how strong they may be, how unpopular it makes us. I know that's a difficult one for many. But we should seek to be blown along by the wind of God, with direction and purpose, to seek to serve God. And Jude talked of these dreamers, these people who we always seem to have in our churches, no matter where we are, who argue that they have some special insight from God that means they can ignore the teaching of the Bible. that says what they say is acceptable. Because Jude tells us here that they reject the authority of God. And we've seen what happens to those who reject the authority of God. We also have a warning. We find it easy to fall into what we might term comfort sins, feel-good sins. Sins that we don't think hurt anyone and make us feel better. Here are some examples. It's not an exhaustive list. I'm sure you can add your own, but think of buying something we can't afford because it will make us feel good. Or gluttony or porn. There's one for you. How many people even think there is a problem with porn anymore? Or casual sex, drugs, or drowning ourselves in drink. We may not feel like they hurt other people. So where's the problem, we might ask ourselves? Yet they are sins. Many of them, I'm sure, when we were to think about them, we realise do harm others. They damage our relationships with people. And those we care about are damaged when they see us slipping into this mire of sin. But never mind just the people. It's not the worst of it, though. Because they are, after all, sins. And so they hurt God. There's a reason, if you need any, to stop doing them. They drive a wedge between us and him. And we know what awaits us for that. For we've seen time and time again, we can't escape judgment. Now, I'll admit this sounds all a bit depressing. Because lest we forget, none of us can escape sin on our own. But not all is lost, though. For God sent Jesus to earth to die for our sins and to rise to life again. The final great victory demonstrated in Jesus' life. God has given us a way out. That's worth shouting about this morning, is it not? But it's so easy to just then take this news that's known to so many of us as an excuse to say, oh, it doesn't matter if I sin, because I'm forgiven. We are forgiven, yes. But because of that great love that Jesus and God have for us, we're called to emulate Christ and seek to sin no more. It's so easy to be led astray. Be aware. Keep your eyes open to the dangers and pitfalls that lie all around us. When we get complacent, that can be when it strikes the hardest. Now, this sermon isn't meant to just be a plea for you to stop sinning, which it is in part, but something more, a call to submit yourself to God, to be obedient to God, to accept the authority of God and of Scripture. And it's a call not to be seduced by all the voices around us calling us to fit into the world around us. It's a call to not just drift into irrelevance. For that is what I truly believe would happen to us if we gave in to these calls. We have something special, something unique, something wonderful. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Something that sets us apart from the world around us. Something open to everyone. Something that we should want to see unblemished and unchanged just to fit convenience. It would be so easy to fit into the demands of society. Yet we're called to something more. Something much more wonderful and amazing. Called to obedience to God. So this is a call to repent, to submit ourselves to Him who made us. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you speak to us here. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we would be able to submit ourselves to you and your authority. That we would keep our eyes focused on you. And not let the different things around us drag us off. Father, we want to see the gospel of your Son made known to the world around us. We cannot do that if we change it and mar it and make it fit to this, what society says it should be. And Father, we know we can't do this all on our own. And we thank you for your Son that lets us draw close to you. And we pray this morning, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Equip us and empower us to be closer to you. To hold true to the course you set before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we're going to sing again.
We're going to go back to Jude. The end of Jude is a blessing, which you all know. But we're just for a change, you're going to be ministered to. We're going to sing the blessing over you. If you want to stand, that's fine. If you want to sit down, that's fine.
To him who is able.
Leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.